Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson picks up where we left off on Christmas Eve. 40 days after Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph make the 6-mile trip from Bethlehem to the temple in Jerusalem to present their firstborn to the Lord, as was the custom going all the way back to Exodus. And at the temple, they meet an interesting man named Simeon. Simeon's older. From what we understand, he's close to death. But Simeon has faith given to him by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has assured Simeon that he would not die before he saw the Messiah with his very own eyes. When he sees the baby, he knows that this is the Christ, the one he has waited for all of his life. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Simeon begins to prophesy, and the words that Simeon speaks would become known all over the world as the Nunc Dimittis for the rest of history. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he tells Mary, Joseph, and us exactly who Jesus is and what the Messiah brings to the world. Let me share with you 4 things that Simeon tells the Messiah will bring to the world. The Messiah brings, first of all, comfort. Now, there's a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him, Luke 2:25. It's such an interesting verse. What's Simeon waiting for? He's waiting for something called the consolation of Israel. What in the world does that mean? I mean, consolation means to give some comfort to someone who is suffering. It's also the only kind of trophy I've ever won when it comes to sports, but that's not important right now. The important thing is that consolation means to give comfort to someone who's hurting or suffering, and that's exactly what the Messiah comes to do. He is sent by God, the Father, the God of all comfort. His son comes to bring comfort to this world. And that's what Isaiah the prophet predicted in those great Bible verses we read every Advent, Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. The Messiah comes to bring comfort. What kind of comfort? The kind of comfort you find in your lazy boy chair or in your sleep number bed? No, the kind of comfort that comes from the forgiveness of sins. Verse 2 of chapter 40 says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. So, Jesus comes to bring the forgiveness of sins. But before that, you need to have a message of repentance. And that's what John the Baptist comes to do. First would come John the Baptist preaching a message of repentance. Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. First comes the law. Then comes the gospel. First comes John preaching repentance. Then comes Jesus, who is the living incarnation of the gospel, bringing forgiveness of sins. He is the one who brings forgiveness. He is the one who will accomplish forgiveness for our sins through his death and resurrection. He is the one who brings comfort to sinners like us. The Messiah brings comfort. Second of all, he brings peace. Luke 2:29, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, dismiss your servant now in peace. This, of course, is the post-communion canticle that we often sing. It's called the Nunc Dimittis. Nunc Dimittis is Latin. It means now depart. It's the first 2 words in Latin. Now dismiss your servant in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. That makes sense since the Messiah is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah prophesied his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now the peace Jesus brings is peace with God, peace with others, and peace inside. And I think he's especially thinking of that third one here, which means the absence of worry, anxiety, and fear. Or as Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. So Jesus says, peace is the absence of fear, the absence of anxiety, the absence of worry. Now Simeon says, let me depart in peace. The departure he's talking about is his death. Remember, he's been told that soon he will die, but he would first see the Messiah. He says, Lord, let me depart from this world in the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding, the ultimate peace. It's one thing to have peace when you're in the middle of a stressful day, or when you're stuck in a traffic jam on Kimberley Road, or when life gets over busy and overwhelming. But is it possible to have peace even when you know your last breaths are near? The answer is yes, and I know that because I've seen it over and over again, where people have peace in the midst of difficult circumstances, even in the midst of death. Even when death is near, there was no fear, there was no worry, there was no anxiety, there was the peace of God which passes all understanding. People who are at peace with dying because they are looking forward to going home to being with the Lord, not in a way that devalues God's gift of life, but in faith, knowing that they can commit themselves completely into the Lord's hands, and that no matter what happens for the Christian, the best is yet to come, because what's yet to come is still heaven. To have the same attitude as the Apostle Paul, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. That's real peace, peace that no circumstance can take away, the peace of the Lord. The Messiah brings us comfort. The Messiah brings us peace, even in the most difficult circumstances. And the Messiah brings us, number three, salvation. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. Luke 2, 30-31. Simeon has peace because he himself has now seen God's salvation with his own eyes. How did he see it? In the baby. This baby, Jesus, is God's salvation. This baby he's holding in his arms is the Savior of the world. This baby will save us from sin, from the devil, and from death itself. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14 says, the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. This baby is our Savior, the Savior of the whole world, the one and only Savior. And what's more to the point, salvation is found in no one else. Acts 4:12 says, there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given by men by which we might be saved. Jesus is the one and only Savior from sin and from death and from hell. How does he accomplish the salvation? Not by might, not by power, not by strength, not by force, but by blood. His blood spilled on the cross. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. Jesus is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not just for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. He has made peace with God through his blood and accomplished our salvation. That's who Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished on our behalf. This is what the Messiah does for us. He brings comfort. He brings peace. He brings salvation. And one more thing. He is the light of the world. Luke 2:32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. In our Portals of Prayer devotion today, the author talked about the time he and his family visited Mammoth Cave. The guide led them through long tunnels of solid rock, farther and farther down, taking them to the cave. And then when they got there, he turned the lights off. And the author goes, he could not see his hand in front of his face. I mean, that's deep darkness. That's thick darkness when you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And that's how God describes the world in the Bible, and especially in Isaiah chapter 60, that it's covered in the thick darkness of sin. Isaiah 60 says, see, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. That darkness is the darkness of sin. And I don't think I have to tell you that the world is a dark place. It is depressing, it is confusing, it's an easy place to get lost, especially spiritually. So many people today are lost spiritually. They are nihilistic. They don't believe in anything. And they're depressed, they're lonely, they're hurting, and they have no hope. They are covered in darkness, deep darkness, thick darkness.
And what they need more than anything else in this world is a little bit of light. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. A light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Jesus Christ is that light, the one who brings hope, the one who brings understanding, the one who brings warmth and joy and a way out. He's not a light, he's the light, the only light we need, the light who can lead us out of darkness, the darkness of sin and death. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is who Jesus is. Our comfort, our peace, our salvation, and our light. He's the one who leads us out of this world of sin and darkness. He is the light of the world, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.